Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, it's the podcast guy.
Something I talked on podcast. It's the Sutton Podcast.
And there it is. Sutton United at the GM Vauxhall Conference have put down First Division Coventry City, winners of the FA Cup themselves less than 2 years ago. And what a moment to enjoy for the fans of this Surrey side. They've had their moments before, but never one like this.
But the whistle goes now. Delight for Sutton United. Sutton United, the National League, are through to the last 16 of the FA Cup. No longer English football's perennial non-league club. A 123-year crescendo reaches a new peak for Sutton United, who are promoted to the Football League for the first time.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sutton United Talk Time on podcast. It's the Sutton Podcast in association with Lucky Star Gym. I'm your host, Mike, and with me on today's panel, we have got Paul and Andy. I'm sure the Prediction League will be mentioned with two of the top three on. In this episode, we're going to be covering the routine four in a row win. You know, yes, so easy nowadays. We know the score against Swindon, and we are actually going to look forward to the visit and revenge of Stockport. No less than 6-0, boys. No less. engagement is important. Please join that discussion and stay connected. Share your thoughts and comments with at Sutton Podcast across all the social medias. I do try to make sure I respond to everything, but thank you very much. And big shout out to everyone who does it already. I didn't look up when you guys were last on because I literally got in from work, quickly did the link and everything, and then had my dinner. So I haven't actually done an awful lot. But Andy, how have you been? It's been a while, I know that.
Yeah, it has been. We didn't win the last time I was on.
That doesn't narrow it down at all.
No, it doesn't. I've got a feeling it was the game. We lost 3-2. We lost, we got back to 2-0 and then we lost really late 3-2. I can't think who it was. Yeah, it was probably like October or something.
How have you been anyway?
Yeah, all good. Obviously, much better in the last few weeks after, I think, like everyone, just had kind of given up after, what was it, Grimsby?
Yeah.
Which was, it was a dire game. It was like, right, we had to beat them. So I think pretty much like everyone, given up and thought, start looking forward to the summer and next season. And yeah, like, I don't know, it's the hope that kills you, they say, isn't it?
So, Absolutely. Well, that Grimsby game is possibly going to be pinpointed as the Torquay moment, where suddenly we got something that we didn't deserve, and things started slowly but started turning. And Mr. Chalmers, first of all, an apology, sir, because I rather flippantly said at the end of last episode, Chalmers, if he remembers. Then I stopped recording. I went, he's only actually forgotten one. And he did remember it. He did join it. It was just the day before. He went, who you got on? was like, you, hopefully. So how have you been, sir?
Yeah, very good, very good. Thank you. I was, and Andy mentioned the hope that kills you. That's been a bit of a strap line for me recently. Yeah. Just don't know what's coming around the corner, do we? But no, in general, I've been good. I was thinking about when you asked Andy as well when he was last on. I couldn't quite picture it, but as he was talking, I think it came to me. It was Newport.
Oh, was it? Me. Okay.
January. So New Year's Day, possibly. I think that was. That game, so was it around then?
Wasn't New Year's Day. That was Wimbledon, wasn't it?
That's Newport.
It was Boxing Day. It was Newport, was it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I could be wrong.
It's a scrappy one all. Like,
it's more likely that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more likely that I'm wrong. Let's be honest. It's more likely that I'm wrong. Right. So I didn't realise that last podcast, Good Friday one, didn't properly upload to YouTube until a couple of people mentioned it yesterday, including Anthony Fenton, the assistant manager, which it took me a while to kind of go, oh, right, thanks for letting me know. And I went and sorted it out because it was like, it stuck up lower than like 96% or something. And then later on, I was like, hang on a minute, does that mean that you listen to the podcast? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, well, I'll apologise for the first one, mate, but the rest is on you. Apparently he listens, so we've got to behave now. But it's there, so if anyone wants to listen to that one as well as this one, it is now uploaded, and this one should be uploaded, hopefully, if YouTube behaves. But I didn't really look into it. They're doing a auction for the shirts, but I haven't properly looked at that yet. For the Aubergine Dream shirts, which obviously I'm wearing. Not my one. My one is not up for auction. It's mine. You can't have it. But for the game, I kind of fell, well, I didn't fall entirely, but I kind of fell for Steve's bluff. And I went with one change and I took out Josh and put in Dukey. I know someone else took out Josh and put in Amari. But did you two get, was it the lineup you expected, an unchanged lineup, or did you think he was going to chop and change it as he had hinted? Andy, we'll start with you.
I'll be absolutely honest. I hadn't really heard the pre-match comment, so I assumed he was going to stick with the lineup. I think that's what's been interesting, and I think I mentioned the kind of Grimsby game of a few weeks ago. I'll be honest with you, I was getting quite frustrated with the chopping and changing. It was a bit, you know, so much week on week. It was like, you know, Clay would come in, then he'd disappear again, and then Coley was like, and he'd think, is he just like trying players out? Has he given up on this season? Is he just looking, you know, planning for next year, working out who he wants to keep? And then it's been bizarre. Well, not bizarre, I guess, but based on the results. But, you know, hell, we've had an unchanged team for a number of weeks. And maybe it's not even the team that many of us would have thought would be an unchanged lineup a month ago. You know, there's no Eastman, John, Goodliff. I know they've had injuries, but these guys on the bench, Bazanis has obviously disappeared. And you know, some of those kind of stalwarts have kind of, you know, they're not around, but it's a settled team and it's working. So yeah, I'll be honest. As I said, I hadn't really heard the pre-match comments, but yeah, I expected him to stick with a winning formula.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, you're dead right. He did sort of tinker man, I think a couple of people started calling him, but it could just be Paul that he was trying to find who worked well doing what. I mean, is it what you expected, or did you expect some changes?
Yeah, I think I was off expecting a couple of changes. Obviously, having played on Friday, I was thinking, you know, we put a shift in, definitely. It was a hard battle and, you know, hung on a bit at the end. So I thought perhaps there would be a couple of changes. But, yeah, I was quite happy that there wasn't. And it was, as Andy has said, it's a bit of a settled side now. And I think that's something that works well for us. It certainly worked well for us in the past, in our previous seasons in the Football League. You know, we were pretty easy to pick a side, wasn't it? And yeah, it's good. Hopefully it is a case of he's found his best side and he's going to try and stick with it as best as he can. And you know, I think there will be a few changes here and there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was quite happy, yeah.
I mean, it seems insane. You mentioned Eastie. 6 months ago, Feasty's name's not on the team sheet. Everyone's having kittens. Oh, for God's sake, we're going to struggle today. And now, love the man, but you're barely like, oh, Christ, he's just come off the bench. I forgot he wasn't playing. Hopefully, long may it continue.
Is he injured, do we know?
I think he was injured. He then came back.
He wasn't in the squad. He wasn't in the squad yesterday, was he?
He came on, Paul.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to edit that bit out.
You're up. That might be the clip.
The reason I said that is because I did actually ask the question of a couple of the other guys around me. Obviously, you were maybe out of earshot. And I asked a couple of the other guys around me, and they said he wasn't on, even on the bench. So I obviously was. Yeah, I must have been. No, Clay's 16, isn't he?
No, what Clay that came on? I can't remember. I'm sure he came on. Andy, did he come on?
I don't want to come in. I'm a bit worried. But I don't remember him coming on.
No, he didn't come on.
I don't remember him.
No. Clay.
Who came on? Was it Clay? Yeah.
Sure.
No, I'm sure it was skinny.
Mate, I'm looking. Oh, you can't see it. I'm looking at flash scores.
Oh, you can't trust him.
He wasn't even on the bench. I was right.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, well, that bit's definitely going out.
Keep that bit in, Mike. Keep that bit in.
Yeah.
I reference it every minute.
I swore he came on. Well, bang goes my knowledge. Anyway, so what were you, Paul, sort of expecting before the match? You've just come off a bizarre three-match winning run. Swindon had beaten Notts County, but that's no biggie because we beat them twice. But what were you expecting from the game, Paul? Apart from Eastie coming on, or not coming on, or coming on, or not coming on.
I was hopeful, you know. I looked at these games that we had. Mainly, let's look at the last two, for example. I was going up to Salford thinking, oh, we really could do win this. We've hit a bit of a roll. We've won the last two. And I was going up to Salford certainly thinking, yeah, I think I'll take a point. But with this one, it was only, I think we need 3 points. We need to win home games. I'd have taken 4 points, I think, from these two games. Mm-hmm. I'd have been quite happy with that. So we won that and I thought, okay, draw would be okay, but not quite enough. We need to put pressure on the sides above us and hopefully a win and keep momentum going into the next few games, which are, I think, going to be a bit tougher.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, isn't it, Andy? Everyone was like, oh, 4 points from two games. But as soon as we won the first one, he's like, no, we want six now. but what were your thoughts, Andy, before the game? Were you hopeful, expectations? Or?
Yeah, to be honest with you, as you said, if you look at Swindon's form, it hadn't been great. They'd beaten Notts County, but everyone's beaten Notts County. Like they've fallen off a cliff, haven't they, since the manager went. I did kind of expect us to win. I think we'll kind of recognise that at this stage of the season, these are teams you want to be playing, the teams who maybe mentally are kind of thinking of their summer holidays already. Sometimes it works the other way around and they've got no pressure. But generally I find it, particularly in the lower levels, quite often, you know, players are like, you know, they may not even be their next season, they don't want to get injured if they're looking for a contract. I think these are the games you want to play, Salford, Swindon and Accrington. They are like, you know, and that's not to kind of undermine how well we've played, but they are the teams you want to play. And yeah, I was expecting us to win, despite what I put in the prediction league. I told you that was just that's just a, like a superstition
a
now.
Yeah, as a strategy.
I was expecting to win.
It was a good day for you yesterday all round, wasn't it? With your other team,
With Ipswich,
yeah,
it's been relatively good bank, good Easter, 4 wins, so
yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's a different 4 out of 4 of you, but I mean, we did all right. We started well, and again, I wrote loads of things down, but I had no idea of the orders, but their keeper, despite what happened second half, he actually made quite a few saves. And I think he did all right, sort of in the first half at least. I know he got some criticism later on, but were you kind of, I know Charlie scored relatively early. Do you think we should have scored before then? I know Steve was a little bit critical. We'll start with you, Andy. What were your kind of thoughts on the first half in general and Charlie scoring again for us?
Yeah, like he's made such a difference, hasn't he? Like to have that kind of those goal threat from central midfield. He's made it, and you know, his partnership with Beautyman maybe is, you know, one of the kind of surprises, and it's good to see, particularly Beautyman playing so well, because, you know, as you said earlier, we all kind of expect Eastman to be irreplaceable, and if he's not there, we're in trouble. But this partnership between the two of them, I think, looks really effective, it was nice to have an early goal to ease the nerves. Like, oh, you know, he was so unlucky with the volley he hit as well shortly after, which I think was with his right foot. Despite being a very predominantly left-footed player, he hit that, and the keeper actually made a good save, very good save from that. I think it was one of those where we looked comfortable, we got the early goal, weren't too many nerves, but you did think, actually, we've been so dominant, really, should be two up. And that was the danger.
Paul, what were your thoughts early doors and Charlie's goal, first half?
It was Harry Smith who put the ball in, wasn't it? Harry Smith was out. Was it Harry Smith? Or was it Coley who put it in?
Please don't be
honest. It was Smith, wasn't it?
It was Smith.
I don't even know who came on. What's the point of asking me?
And I think I said, you know, oh, Harry Smith's out there wide. We need him to be in the middle. We win the headers. And he's put a great ball in, and Charlie Lakin's come in. And obviously, he's coming one way. Keeper's sort of not got close to it, really, has he? I know it was a distance away, so, you know, my eyes aren't the best. But I think, great run from Lakin, and what a player he's been. I saw something on social media where I think it might have been Tom Williams or Gab Sutton were saying, you know, which of your loan players are you looking forward to having back most? And Burton, there was a couple of Burton, at least one Burton fan saying Charlie Lakin, and a couple of our guys, a couple of our supporters posted as well saying, he's a real find and we'd love to keep him. And I think we'd struggle to be honest with you. I can't see Burton letting him go because he has done so well.
You never know, because obviously he's been out on loan, and a couple of Burton supporters have been saying we've never really given him a chance. He went to Wimbledon, didn't really get a look in. So I'm not saying he will, but it's one of those things of players sometimes, like Eastie, sometimes find somewhere and go, actually, I'd rather be here because I know what I can offer this team. You never know.
Oh, I'd love to have him, certainly. Welcome him with open arms.
Might see him the other way.
But no, as you said, felt like we should have had another one. Our dominance was pretty good. We were pretty much dominating the game, and I think if we'd gone in at least 2-0, no one would have been surprised. And I don't think the away side would have been shocked by it either.
There was one disappointing point of Jacko having to come off injured. Obviously, we don't know what it is, and we're unlikely to know how severe it is because that's just not the way we roll anymore. But other than that, it was almost a perfect half. We could have scored one, maybe two more. But it was a nice control game football, you said, Paul. Second half, right in front of us. Andy, where do you stand again? Or sit? Or stand?
Well, yesterday I was on the TARDIS. I was with a friend who had two kind of small kids, and that seemed to be the best place that they could basically have a bit of space to run around in. So that's where I was for both halves. So not such a good view of the second goal. In fact, you know, it was one of those where Has that really gone in? What's happened? It can't have gone in.
They're the kind of goals. I think Dan said it as we were saying the ball. They're the kind of goals we used to concede in. We're not used to scoring. But, I mean, you've obviously seen, or you may have seen the replays. I did double check, and Josh is not on a goal bonus. So quite happy for them to fight and give it to Josh. That's absolutely fine. No problem. But how are you, I don't know if you didn't see it much, but how were you sort of feeling at that point? Was it like a little bit like, hey, what's going on up there?
Yeah, it was a really weird one, wasn't it? It was, and I think we've been helped out a couple of times now with the, there's clearly a goalkeeping error. But when we played Accrington, obviously the first goal was, a bit of a goalkeeping error as well when he came flying out and Smith went round him. So, sometimes you need over season it evens itself out, doesn't it? And we've probably had a lot of bad luck, I think. And maybe we've had a bit of good fortune in the last couple of games. I think we deserved it. We were a better team. We deserved to be 2-0 up. The way we got there was maybe fortuitous. Our other two goals weren't. And good for Josh Coley as well. He was another one like Beautyman, who's really seemed to have found his feet in the last few games, and it's good to see. And maybe it's a slightly different style of playing that has suited some, one or two of these players like Beautyman and Coley, I think. So it was nice, and I hope he does get it, because it looked like it might have even been on target. I know it's just from a strange angle, but it was a weird one.
I do think it was curling in ever so slightly. I'm not going to slow-mo the video, but Paul, what did you think when we were standing there watching it?
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, I was going to say, Andy, you had a lot better view of it than I did, because I didn't actually see it. I got chatting to... I popped into the bar to see someone. I didn't even have a drink. I popped into the bar to have a chat with someone, and I was just about to leave, and then this other fella started chirping up, and we spoke for another minute or two. And I was literally walking out, just about to walk out of the bar, and I heard the cheer go up. So, so my view of the goal was from Mike's video.
I'll be honest, I watched it on Mike's video. I saw it better on Twitter 10 minutes later than I did at the time.
Yeah, loads of people love that video. The club sort of asked. The reason why I found out about Josh's non-goal bonus is, I was asked by Tony and someone else if they were able to use the video and send it to the EFL to see if they could claim it as Josh's goal, which I find, I mean, I don't understand it all, obviously, but apparently the ref said he thought it was Josh's goal. But if we're saying it's Josh's goal, why would the EFL say no, it's not? It's bizarre. It was a fortuitous moment. Great.
I saw it shared in a few places as well, Mike.
I know.
So I don't know how many views it's had, but
famous now.
Going viral again.
Didn't go viral for the Pizza Cup Master, but I'm in viral for a goal. But Harry scored our third, his, I believe, 10th league goal of the season, which is the most we've had. So it was possibly one of the easiest goals he's going to score. The ball was just planted lovely on his head. And what was your thoughts on that one, Paul? Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw that one, yeah. I've got to say, Josh Coley, the last few games, has been, I'd say, a revelation. I think he's been really, he's improved a lot of the things he's doing. His balls into the box have been great, and that was a great example. You know, he's fizzed it across pretty much, hasn't he? From the byline, not far off. And, yeah, very easy for Harry Smith to put the icing on the cake. I was, yeah, well happy. I thought, I'm a pessimist at heart, you know, so I was still thinking, oh, you know, one more maybe and we might be safe.
He did say in the post-match interview that that's what he's been told to do, get the ball into that area. And if he gets into that area, he can then moan Harry to go, I got the ball there. What were you doing? But yeah, you're quite right. Over the last few games, there's definitely been less of the Josh from everyone around us. He's going on the outside and cutting in, and he's doing what we signed him for, just very late, a lot of the players.
I actually tweeted him a couple of months ago, praising him for getting to the byline. So I might have to take some credit for it.
Why not? I would. But Andy, what were your thoughts and your view of the third goal?
Yeah, as Paul said, he really fizzed him across, didn't he? It was it's quite an unusual technique in a way, but it just made it so straightforward for Harry. He could just kind of redirect the pace on the ball back across the goal and it's in. And yeah, I think Coley has improved so much in recent weeks. When we signed him, I know an Exeter supporter, and I asked him about him, and he said that technically you look at him and technically he's got everything that you need of a player, but he's not having the impact in the final third. He's not getting the numbers in terms of goals and assists. Maybe a goal. It was two goal involvements, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Whether it's an assist or a goal or two assists, but
he scored the other week as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. At Forest Green. So he's really turned that part of his game around, which I think is all that was kind of missing. I think technically he's a good player, but as a winger, he has to have those numbers, and that's what he's now delivering.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just talking rubbish, but it might be that everyone's expecting Steve to work miracles with the strikers, but actually he's telling the wingers, this is how I want the ball to land on my head. And he's better to explain to them what he wants from their runs. So it could be that we're looking at the wrong things there. He might be helping all the others. Well, there was some celebration in the director's box as we didn't have to pay that clean sheet bonus again when they scored from a free kick we shouldn't have given away, which then got deflected. But these are things that pale. Once you win in the games, you don't remember them. You were from the same end as me. What did you see of the goal? Or did you just see the free kick and it go in? Did you realise there was a deflection?
I didn't realise there was a deflection, no. Frustrated by the foul. It was a bit of an unnecessary foul, wasn't it? And it's those little mistakes that in the past have cost us points. So it's nice that it wasn't a points-affecting thing, but, you know, goal difference is relatively important.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit frustrating on that sense, but it's nice to have that as the frustration rather than us throwing points away for stupid fouls and giving penalties away and things like that. So, it could have been worse.
And Andy, this one would have been happening in front of you, assuming you weren't in the bar or...
No, it did happen in front. I didn't see the deflection, to be honest, because he's side on. It was frustrating. We haven't kept a clean sheet in some time at home because we did a Forest Green, but I can't remember the last clean sheet at home. It's frustrating. I guess for me, I'd put one all in the prediction league and be selfish and saying at least I've got a point. But it's very similar to again, Accrington, that was the same, wasn't it? We were 3-0 up and
conceded.
Just out of nothing. Yeah. And like the away fans don't even really get too excited about it, and it just felt like a bit of an end of a match, and maybe people had switched off, but overall, obviously, I think it's a great performance. So you can't really be too critical of conceding that late goal.
No, I mean, I think Accrington fans didn't even know they'd scored.
Yeah.
Because we were even standing there going, hey, what happened? But as you mentioned, we won relatively easily in hindsight. Obviously, at the time, it was like, Paul, oh, God, we need another 10. But it's relatively easy. Should have been more. Could have really done the goal difference a world of good. But our fourth victory moves us out of the relegation zone. Obviously, games in hand and all the rest of it, the teams around us, but they've got to play all those games while we get to kind of recuperate and plan ahead each week. So how are you kind of feeling overall, Andy, with the performance and how it's left us at the moment for the final four games?
Happy with the performance, happy with four wins in a row. Like, I think with like everyone, it is frustrating that the Colchester and Grimsby keep picking up maybe even unexpected points. Like Tranmere away is a tough game, and they're good at home, Tranmere. I maybe wasn't expecting Colchester won it to pick up a point there. Similarly, just if they did on Good Friday and got the late win. Grimsby picked up a point. So we could do without that. Let's be honest. If they keep picking up these points, it's going to make it really difficult, and we might need to win or at least get three wins and a draw out of our last four games. And with the opponents we've got, that's going to be tough. But I'd rather, I didn't think we'd be in this position 3 weeks ago. We've got to kind of be positive. I think if we do. I think Colchester and Grimsby have also got quite tough run-ins as well, haven't they?
They do.
I think they actually play each other. But I'd say out of the two of them, I almost think Grimsby are the ones that may be more likely to catch, because if you look at their form this year, I think they've only had two wins in 2024. So I think they're the ones maybe who are more likely to be able to catch them. Than Colchester, but yeah, overall, obviously happy. We're still in it and fighting.
Exactly. I mean, it was Ali that scored their goal, which is really disappointing, Mr. Smith. but Paul, what do you kind of feel about how it's left us for the final running? I think they've got almost got double our games left. Grimsby, I think. I'm not sure if it's seven.
No, I think Grimsby have got six.
Six. Okay.
They've got two games in hand.
Sorry, it was Colchester. Sorry, I think they've got three on us,
haven't they? I think they've got seven.
Yeah.
I've looked at all their fixtures and everything, and I was half expecting Grimsby to beat Bradford, if I'm honest with you.
Right.
Bradford are absolutely shocking. They're right stone last in the form table, and I think that goal coming back against them, against Grimsby, 93rd minute, player sent off as well. I don't know how important a player he is for them, but you know, he's given away a penalty and got sent off their player. So them getting that point, nicking that point off them, that's a real kick in the teeth.
Yeah,
I hope that hope that drags on for a bit. That affects them in the next game and the one after that as well. But yeah, it's going to be tough. I was looking at who we've got to play next in our last four, and we're second in the form table. We're playing third, fourth, sixth, and eighth in the form table currently. You know, that's going to change as we go on.
Yeah.
But you know, Salford have been doing sort of all right as well, and we got a result up there away from home. So who knows? But next one coming up, Stockport, is going to be tough. It's going to be so tough. I heard you say earlier about you take 6-0, and I was like, we don't need a minus 14 goal difference in one team.
No, we're winning 6-0. I'll let them have the other two. I'm just hoping that they massively underestimate us, but we'll see. You mentioned Stockport. How do we win? Tying up Paddy Madden and not letting him out of the changing rooms. But how can we win against Stockport? you can go first.
Yeah, we need a bit of luck, I think. They're confident, but they, you know, they're going to be a bit edgy, I'd like to think, as well. You know, it's very tight at the top there. They had a bit of a gap at one point, and they don't now. It's relatively tight. It could go either way, but we need a couple of things to go our way. We need to be clinical. We need, you know, we get a chance, we've got to take it. We may have to hang on at times, you know. We might need to sit deep a bit more deep than we would like to. But we should have some confidence, and we should have some faith in our own ability. And I'd like to think we're going to show up, and we're going to give them a good game, and we're going to give everything we got.
Perfect. Andy, what do you think? How are we going to get on with it?
Obviously, it's going to be tough. But I do think that all of the teams in this division are kind of beatable. Like, if you look at the table, I can't think off the top of my head, but I'm sure they're all on, even the top teams, are in the 70s points. I don't think there's the dominant teams. We mentioned earlier the Championship, where these teams are looking like they're going to be 90, 100 points. Stockport and Wrexham and all of those have had bad results. They're not, I don't think, as far away from the rest of the pack as in other divisions. And like, you know, good crew the other day, like they're going for promotion, they lose 3-0 at home to Forest Green. These results can happen in this division. I don't think anyone is unbeatable. I don't think, based on this season, but even last season, I don't think we've matched up well against Stockport the last few times we played them, which is a bit of a concern.
We had Omar sent off early, didn't we, one game?
We did, yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then at the line the last season, they beat us 2-0, quite routine at home. Was it 2-0?
I think that was the one that Omar got sent off.
Okay.
No, that was away.
Oh, was it away? Sorry.
Yeah, it was up there. Omar got sent off, yeah.
Yeah. So we haven't got a good record against them. We don't match up well. But then again, but maybe this is a slightly different start, and maybe the current style of play will match up better against Stockport. But as I say, I don't think it's unachievable. I just don't think any of these teams in this division, they've all got a silly defeat in them. As we saw with Crewe and Forest Green a bit, and I think we maybe need a bit of luck and to be right at the top of our game. But I think we need to approach it with confidence and really go for it. A draw is really, you know, we got to go for a win, haven't we?
Well, we'll have all those teams at the top supporting us, because if we were to go for the win and get the win, we kind of drag them back down a little bit, because I think they're 4 points clear at the moment. I did... Craig Lovett, one of the investors... was in the bar. He was over since the Accrington game. He's this Australian chap who flew for like 23 hours. And I was like, "Oh, I didn't know you were still here." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, no, I've been to all the games." And he's loving it. And I went, "You do realise," and he's at Stockport, this Stockport match. And I said, "Right, so if we win that, you do realise you're going to be locked in one of the cupboards and not let go home, because our fortunes have absolutely turned since you've been here." So, it's one of those, you like, that's a proper Sutton fixture. You're going into it with absolutely no expectation, but a little tiny bit of hope that they can pull it out of the bag. And if we win it, everyone will be like, "What were you worried for? It's fine. It's fine. It's no problem." But we will jump on to the prediction league, which I said I would mention. And Andy's pointed out he's kind of gone off the boil a little bit, but I'll let you explain why you've gone off the boil, Andy, because it's a fair reason.
Yeah, I was absolutely certain we'd lose at Forest Green. We were right at the lowest point then. And I think I predicted loss then and we won. And then I thought, well, I don't want to get too optimistic, because it's a double whammy when you lose then. So I started doing the one-alls. And then since then, we've been winning. And going into the game yesterday, I did actually think we were going to win. I was going to go for 2-1. Then I thought, no, because if we don't, yeah, then it's a double blow, isn't it? So I thought, I'd go with 1-1, and if I'm wrong, I'm happy. So That's my tactic. Although, to be honest, with Stockport, like, let's face it, I've got no idea what to to go for there. Like, it could be cricket school. We could win. It's a real lottery, that one.
Well, there's only four players who can technically win. Neil is quite far back, so the sequence of events for Neil to win would need to be up. You guys got to stop playing. He's on 109 points. Chalmers, you're on 119 in third place. Andy, you're on 124. And Paul is just broke up a little lead of 128. He's gone for the last two matches, he's gone for wins while you've gone for draws. But I think his prediction of a win has also been the same scoreline. So I think he might be doing the same thing of just predicting the same scoreline. But you guys, and as I say to everyone who plays the game and is on the show as well, this isn't your final entry. Still enter after you've heard the pre-match videos or anything later on. So you're not tied to what you say here. I'm going to be really, really brave and go for my normal 2-0. I've been wrong 51 times so far this season, so there's no reason for that not to be wrong again. The code is on the screen, but Chalmers, what's your early thoughts of the prediction?
I'm really not sure. I mean, I like Andy's 1-1 option, but if he's going to go for that, I can't, can I?
He can go for wherever you like. He can have a completely different scoreline plan, and he's going to put it in on the entry form. You don't know. I went for 1-0 on Monday yesterday, and yes, you did. I said to you, didn't I? I know I went for 1-0, but I really don't want it to finish 1-0. I really want to get some more
to ease the tension a little bit. So yeah, no, I think I will. I'm going to go 3-1.
3-1.
So how about that? How about that for optimism?
Oh, 3-1.
Very unlike me.
Andy, what's your early thoughts? Well, maybe double bluffing everyone. I don't know.
No, I don't know what I'll go for on the day officially, but right now I'd like to be quite optimistic and go for a 2-1 win. I just look back at like maybe Wrexham game, which is I think the last game we played against one of the top three at home, and we lost 2-1. But we all know we really didn't deserve to lose that game, particularly with the penalty that was never given, and their winner wasn't. Yeah, I remember that assist was not deliberate. Yeah. So maybe I think. But for all the bad luck we had in the Wrexham game, it's going to turn it round and we're going to get a bit of luck and turn it round and win this 1-2-1.
Perfect, perfect. Well, anyone who's still joining, obviously you're going to be too far behind, but you'll be in the email group for early next season. Right, we've wrapped it up now. We've covered everything. That's nice to speed through. Thanks, gents. As always, we appreciate your attention, even though I've broken the cup. Do follow, like, and share Sutton Podcast on social medias. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your preferred platforms. Thank you to our sponsors, Lucky Star Gin. Thank you to Andy and Paul. Thank you to the listeners. We will be back on Sunday with Alex and David. Get the questions and thoughts sent in and take care, and we'll catch up soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
United!
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.